Welcome back to HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, this week kicks off National Medical Laboratory Professionals Week. It's an annual celebration of the more than 300,000 medical laboratory professionals around the country who play a vital role in every aspect of our health care. And here to give us more insight into what these folks do are Susan Graham. She's the chair of the Department of Clinical Laboratory Science and associate dean of the College of Health Professions. And Charlene Hubble, she is the tissue typing stem cell laboratory supervisor, and both of them are for Upstate Medical University. Thank you so much for coming in, ladies.
Our pleasure.
So, first of all, Charlene, tell us about National Medical Laboratory Week. What's it about? What's its mission?
It's about recognizing the professionals in the clinical laboratories who do very vital testing for the diagnosis and treatment of disease. And most of the time, people don't see these people because we're in the laboratory, and most of the time, we don't leave the laboratory. So most patients don't see us, and a lot of patients aren't aware even of what the important role that these people play. Increasingly, every year, physicians are dependent on testing done by the clinical laboratory. And so this week is an opportunity to recognize those people nationwide. We all celebrate our jobs together. We do a lot of activities within the laboratory to celebrate our profession and our accomplishments. But it's also opportunity for people outside of the laboratory to realize and learn what a clinical laboratory technologist is.
Well, that's wonderful. Susan, tell us, I know Upstate has a program in the College of Health Sciences, health-related professions. Tell us what is involved in becoming a clinical laboratory professional.
Well, there are two levels of being of clinical laboratory professionals. One is a two-year technician, and the other is a four-year technologist. Our program here at Upstate trains four-year technologists, and it builds on 2 years of math and science courses, and then students transfer to us as juniors. And they spend 2 years with us, including a year of clinical experience. They're actually in the laboratories performing patient testing, supervised, of course. So they graduate with a year's worth of experience. And they've trained in the five major levels or the five major disciplines of laboratory science, which would be hematology, chemistry, microbiology, blood banking, immunology is
the other. Wow. So that's a really rigorous, it sounds like a very rigorous program.
It is. It's for students that are strong in math and science. And to prepare for getting into the profession, we suggest that students as early as middle school start training or start preparing by taking 4 years of math and science in high school. And then they can go to a two-year community college to get the 2 years preparation for our program. And then they're very well prepared for our program.
And your program then is 2 years.
Two years, yes.
To become the technologist.
Yes.
But that's based on a four-year degree.
Yes.
Right.
They would graduate with a bachelor's in medical technology.
Wow. So what exactly does a medical technologist or a medical technician do?
Sure. Well, a medical technologist will generally work independently. Now, in all clinical laboratories, they're supervised by a physician. Usually, in a laboratory like the Upstate Medical University, they would be supervised by a pathologist. But much of the time, they're working independently. So they're receiving patient samples, they're processing them, they're
testing. So that's tissue or blood.
Mm-hmm. Blood samples, your routine physical, if you're an inpatient in the hospital and you need critical laboratory tests to be done, they're processing those samples, they're actually performing the test, and they're releasing the results to the physician. And much of the time they're working independently. When I say independently, the responsibility to make sure that that test is done correctly and the result that's issued is a correct result is their responsibility alone.
So there's a lot of precision then, Susan, that's required, it seems to me, from these individuals. I mean, they really have to be precise and accurate and reliable.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Attention to detail is one of the top things that we look for in candidates for our program. They're also going to be using a lot of different technologies in order to do these tests. So it really reaches out to a diverse group of individuals who want to apply science aptitudes in a clinical setting. So they might be doing hands-on, you know, mixing reagents together, pipetting, those sorts of things. Or they might be using very sophisticated equipment that is computer-driven. So it really reaches out to folks that have a technology background or an interest in technology.
We have a lot of people, I think, who are very attracted by that. It's very computer-driven. You have need good computer skills, but it's also very high technology now. And we have a lot of staff who are attracted by that.
So what exactly are the requirements for the New York State licensure? In other words, if they graduate your program, they're already set. Is that correct?
That's the beauty of graduating from our program. There are several programs across the state that are identified as licensure qualifying. And we've submitted our program, our curriculum, to the New York State Education Department and have been approved for that. So graduates of our program are automatically eligible for New York State licensure.
They're required to have that in order to practice, though.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the national exam that they take to be nationally certified is the same exam currently that New York State is using for licensure. So they take one exam when they're done, one board exam, and that accomplishes both purposes, a national certification, which would allow them to practice anywhere, and then the important New York State licensure.
You know, it strikes me these days with the complexity of technology around, but also the opportunity for physicians to use the technology to arrive at diagnoses of many kinds, that the lab technician plays an increasingly important role in helping the physician figure out what's going on with the patient.
The figures currently are that about 70% of the decisions that are made by physicians and other providers are based on laboratory tests. So the decisions are not only diagnostic decisions. We help in maintaining the patient's wellness. We also work with prognosis and monitoring therapy and managing their
and
process.
Even identifying, you know, a lot of laboratory testing now is molecular and genetic kind of testing. So we're helping physicians predict which patients are at risk for certain diseases or certain catastrophic events.
Or who might benefit from certain treatment protocols.
And who might benefit from certain treatment protocols and also monitoring therapy. So patients, oncology patients who get chemotherapy, lots of things the laboratory does help the physician determine if the patient is responding to that therapy.
So one of the things that I read about in preparation for chatting with you guys is that there seems to be a shortage of these types of professionals out there. And clearly you can get positions in all kinds of settings, whether it's a hospital setting, a medical school setting, a hospital laboratory, as you've described, also private laboratories, I guess, as well. Tell us, what's the problem? Why are people not learning about this?
Well, nationally, just to put some numbers to this, is that there are about 11,000 positions nationally that are open now for laboratory technologists, and we're graduating about 5,000 professionals. In New York State, it's a little bit worse than that. We're only graduating about a third of the people that we need. So there are lots of opportunities for jobs for individuals when they graduate.
And the other thing I think is that we need to do more education in terms of the really rewarding part of this job. My personal job is involved in transplantation and cancer therapy, et cetera, and it's incredibly personally rewarding. And I think we need to really help people who are thinking about this as a career to understand it's not just simply putting some things in a test tube and arriving at an answer. It really is contributing to patient care.
It's amazing. Well, I want to thank you both for coming in. Very, very interesting. And I hope we've gotten the word out a little bit from this conversation. Maybe we'll get some more people looking into this as a very valuable profession. Well, my guests have been Susan Graham, Chair of the Department of Clinical Laboratory Science and Associate Dean of the College of Health Professions, and Charlene Hubble, the HLA and Stem Cell Laboratory Supervisor, both for Upstate Medical University. We'll be right back after the news with more HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to FM News Radio 106.9 and 570 WSYR.